Hey everyone, welcome to the Wandering Years podcast, where we declare the truth that not all who wander are lost.
Yeah, so often the young adult years seem like years that are wandering, figuring out who we are. And our hope with this podcast is that you would know that not every moment is a wandering moment, and that we'd love to join in this journey together with you. So I'm Andrew.
And I'm William.
Let's join in this journey together.
Hey everybody, welcome back. We are back from the dead. We've resurrected, and the Wandering Years is alive and well. Andrew, how are we doing?
Good, man. Glad to be back. Glad to run the road with you one more time, brother.
I know. Yeah. So this is a huge podcast for another reason. Marks a significant moment in what we're doing. But before we jump into all of that and get into our topic of conversation, we got to fall back on trustworthy tradition and start off with the word of the week.
Let's go.
And so, Andrew, what words have spoken to you recently?
Yeah. You know, my word of the week is by a guy by the name of Winston Churchill. I don't know if you heard the name before. He's not really well known, but he is. We're talking a lot about change and what it looks like to kind of change direction, move into new directions and seasons of change. And he had this great quote about change that I thought was really beautiful. I don't know. There's certain parts of it that are a little interesting, but I'm curious if Churchill says this. He says, "To improve is to change, so to be perfect is to have changed often." And I don't know what it means to be perfect, but I see where he's coming from. And because in the midst of change, we recognize in new seasons as we move around and things along those lines, things have to occur. Parts of us grow and develop and change. And I think that the beauty of it is, and Churchill, a leader in the history of this world, shows us even the importance of what it means to change and to be willing to change, to be able to grow as a person. So that's my quote, and I think it's important for what we're talking about today. So William, what about you,
man? Yeah, well, a couple of rabbit holes I want to go down from that quote. But yeah, I like that idea. Like, to be perfect is to have changed, or to always, you know, be changing. And I think that's kind of like what sanctification is, like, where we are always growing deeper into the life of God, and we've put on Christ when, you know, we were baptized and made new, but we're also continually putting him on and, like, growing deeper into his life and always being saved, which is really awesome. Always mortifying the flesh and growing deeper in love and glory, Christ's glory. So I like that, and reminds me of something that G.K. Chesterton talked about, because he spent a lot of time in, like, orthodoxy talking about the downfalls of, like, progressivism. And he's like, progressivism is change for the sake of change. And if you're just changing just to change, it's chaos. But he's like, real. Now, this is like a kind of hot button word, but like being a, like, conservative, not in the sense of like Republican politics or anything like that, but in the sense of like holding on to tradition that is good. It's like, if you really want to do that, you have to be open to change. It's like a white picket fence. It's like, if you want a white picket fence to stay true and pure, you have to repaint it white every so often. So you got to go back and you got to change, but you're changing in order to keep the thing sacred, which is just cool. But I like Churchill. Have you been to the war memorial rooms?
I need to. I love Churchill, and I love reading about him and just the nature of the impact that he made on history. I need to get over there.
Yeah, I mean, he was like one of the sole reasons why we're not speaking German today.
Exactly. So,
praise God for his courage. I went over to London a few years ago and went to the war memorial rooms, and it's just awesome. And at the his favorite food was eggs.
That's
eggs. Loved eggs. He said the war was won in the kitchen.
Yeah, there it is.
They were selling these little rubber eggs in there, and like a bouncy ball. And we have chickens at the house, and so I bought one, and I would prank my family and like walk in the house with an egg and just throw it and it'd bounce off the wall and stuff. And but yeah, I like Churchill a lot. So my word of the week comes from same kind of time era, maybe a little earlier, but Kenneth Graham is a Scottish writer and wrote a lot of children's literature, and I'm reading right now this book called The Wind in the Willows. It was one of C.S. Lewis and Tolkien's favorite books. If you read that, you can see like Mr. and Mrs. Beaver and the Hobbits, like all in the story, like this kind of love for friendship and comforts of home and the joy of a walk in the woods and smoking a pipe. Not, you know, anything illegal, but like the tobacco. those kind of things. And this is what he had to say about, you know, the importance of childhood and children's literature. The most priceless possession of the human race is the wonder of the world. Yet, latterly, the utmost endeavors of mankind have been directed towards the dissipation of that wonder. Science analyzes everything to its component parts and neglects to put them back together again. But what is the use of living in a world devoid of wonderment? Granted that the average man may live for 70 years, it is a fallacy to assume that his life from 60 to 70 is more important than his life from 5 to 15. Children are not merely people. They are the only really living people that have ever been left to us in this over-weary world. In my tales about children, I've tried to show that their simple acceptance of the mood of wonderment, their readiness to welcome a perfect miracle at any hour of the day or night, is a thing more precious than any of the labored acquisitions of adult mankind. Mm. I mean, I think he just nails it on the head. Like, we are living in an over-weary world where we think that doing more makes us more human. And really, like Christ says, like the kingdom of heaven is for being like a little child.
That's right.
And it's being open to wonder and mystery and magic and all of these things. And I think it's cool how he says like children are the only really living ones because they're open to the way that God is moving. And I know for both of our stories, like from 5 to 15, where we became who we are. So I love that. And it's a, like, I don't know, when I read awesome stories and fantasy, I kind of get to live back into this childlike mindset. So that's my word of the week.
And we need that.
We need that.
We need that. We need that.
So today we are talking about change. We're talking about transitions. We're talking about the end of an era. And I think today we want to start the podcast with some exciting news, with some sad news, with some significant news. And so, Andrew, if you want to let the people know what's going on.
Thank you for that intro.
Yeah,
This is something that we have, over the course of the days and weeks and months that have preceded throughout some time, as things have changed, some change has come from me, and I have accepted a position at another church in the Middle Tennessee area, and will be transitioning out of my role here at Christ Church and into that role. But with that being said, that means that this will be our final podcast as a duo and a team. And we're going to talk a lot about what that means, not just from my personal story. And I think that You know, William, I know you've got some conversation even just within the walls of Christ Church that talk about stories of change that we're going to be talking about today. But as we've talked more about that, we're going to talk about what it means for you and I. What does it mean for you and I to be able to change? Not just whether that's a job, maybe that's moving, maybe that's dealing with the grief of losing someone. The change happens in all forms and all ways of our life, and it's important that we talk about that. But that comes through the lens of the end of the era. We will walk into the wandering years together at the end of this podcast. I don't know, William, you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, it's just fitting. It's what this whole podcast has been about, like speaking into your life as the listener and speaking into your years of wandering, whether you really are in the moment of a transition where you're between jobs or you're between school and looking for a job or moving cities or in that formative part of your life. And we've asked you to trust us to walk with you. And now for Andrew and I, we are entering into seasons of wandering ourselves. But we're doing so with like that refrain of the Tolkien poem, not all who wander are lost. Like we're entering into a season of wandering based on the Lord's call and his direction. And I think it would be good for us to, you know, talk about like what that experience has been like, how we maybe sense the Lord's call, and so like for me, there's been a lot of change recently. Andrew and I had, you know, been doing young adults ministry together for 2 years. And doing this podcast in different iterations for 2 years, and I mean, I loved it. Like I felt comfortable, saw a lot of fruit in my ministry. Was being able to teach and grow, and loved working with you. It was I don't know, felt comfortable, and all of a sudden, like things. Started to change. I got engaged and was looking towards marriage, and like my whole life was kind of getting flipped upside down. So I was moving out of my parents' house and you know, buying a house and getting ready for all of that. And then there was a big need in the youth group here at Christ Church, and was asked to consider like what stepping into like a high school director role was. And dude, I was, my heart was for the young adults. Cause I mean, you and I both have that heart because, and in the words of Flannery O'Connor, singles and young adults feel like quote leftovers in the church. And we were like, well, we've been there. Like we want them to feel known and seen. And when this position opened up in high school, I was like, well, I don't know. I never saw that as part of my journey. And so I had to enter into this season of discernment and did a lot of the things like we talked about with calling, like praying, asking God to reveal himself, looking at my my giftings. You know, how has God equipped me? Has he equipped me for this? Well, yeah. I mean, I connect well with high schoolers, and I'm a good teacher, and sometimes a fun guy, although my wife might tell you differently. and then did a lot of asking others for their wisdom. And Brother Chris Carter encouraged me to do that. He was interim senior pastor. And he said, like the Quakers, what they used to do in discernment was it wouldn't be a solo thing. He's like, that's way too like Western and individualized. He's like, what they would do is you would actually enter into this process by asking many people to pray with you, and when they felt the prompting of the Spirit, they would speak into you. And so I had a team of a lot of people who I was asking to help me like think through these things, and a lot of the encouragement was, hey, we really see you like thriving in this role, and we think that it would be a really good thing. And and so I had all those things kind of like pushing me there. And then one night, I just felt God. I was driving back from Courtney's house, and was just wrestling with I like my pride, because it was my pride really that was like, well, I don't want to really be a youth minister because I see myself doing all these other things. And and then I felt God almost like piercingly say, like, the verse where Jesus is like, let all the little ones come to me. The kingdom of heaven is for such as them. And then he said, if they're not too little for me, they're not too little for you.
Wow.
Like, wow. feed my lambs. And after that, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Everything is leading me here. And so I stepped out from young adults and moved there. And it's been a lot. It's been a lot of change. But that's kind of been my story recently. And we can get into more about like change in the spiritual life, but would love to just hear kind of what God's doing in your life and how he's been moving and meeting you where you are.
You know, my story of change really has had a long inroad. We attended the New Room Conference as a staff back last September.
That was an awesome conference.
Beautiful conference. The Lord greatly moved. Beautiful teaching, great worship, incredible resources. Yeah, I thought it was a really great time for our community as a staff, for us to grow together, being there together, worshiping together, breaking bread together. But one thing I was not ready for that weekend was the Lord to speak to me in that weekend. And I didn't tell a lot of people that. But that weekend, the Lord spoke to me as the topic of conversation so often was, what does it look like for the Lord to do a new thing in us, to do a new thing in the church, to do a new thing in the body of Christ, and to do a new thing to invade this world for the name of Jesus. But one of the things and one of the people that God spoke to and that he was doing a new thing was in my life. He spoke directly to me saying, hey, I'm doing a new thing in you. And I didn't know what that meant. I wasn't really sure what that looked like, because I knew I never wanted to leave where I was out of anything more, no matter any of the good times or any of the bad times. I did not want to leave unless it was God's will. And so I prayed through that, and I was like, you know, God, you've spoken this to me. What does this look like? What does this mean? And you know, since that September conference to now, and today's June 1st, there's been a lot of change among our community. We've had leadership change. We've had facilities closures. We've had staff transitions from one position to another. And so a lot has changed since
then.
It felt
like everything's been up in the air.
Yes, everything's been up in the air. And so when I first heard that call from the Lord, I was very scared. Because I was like, look at all this. That, how would I approach looking at people who I cared about and loved and people who I've walked with? How would I approach them and tell them that I'm leaving? But out of response to what the Lord had shared with me, I felt a due diligence of at least searching out what that looked like. So I began to just search and didn't hear anything. I looked in several places, didn't hear anything. Really thought, okay, don't need to worry about this. Maybe that was a new thing was not professionally. Maybe it was something, you know, maybe it was something else. So I found this church and read their statement of beliefs, thought they were really solid. Couldn't find any job openings or anything like that. And so I sent a message in their Connect With Us page on their website and said, I'm a pastor in Memphis. If you have any openings, would love to just send in a resume. That was at 10 o'clock at night. The next morning I woke up, I was at Asbury Seminary at a class when all this happened. The next morning I woke up to an email from the executive pastor of the church saying, can we schedule a phone call? I'd like to hear more information about you. And for those of you in church ministries, executive pastors of churches aren't always just reaching out. And so that was the first sign of like, something's different here. Had the conversation about 2 weeks later. began to talk about ministry, began to talk about personal lives, and there was a lot of connection. There was a lot. We connected quickly over our history. We connected quickly over our ideals of ministry, and we connected through all that. Had a great conversation. She said, we'll be in contact. Month passes by. This is February now. There was an ice storm in Memphis. There was an ice storm in Memphis, and I was already in Middle Tennessee where I was that weekend, and so out of faith, I just showed up at that church that Sunday. Had a great worship experience there. Ended up meeting the executive pastor there, talking with her for a long period of time. She introduced me to the lead pastor. Had a great encounter there. Not out of anything. She sought me out. I didn't seek her out, which was beautiful. I'd not even sent her a picture of me. So obviously they went and did some Facebook looking. I guess that's right. And so leave there. She says, we'll be in contact. Another month passes by. Haven't heard anything. And I'm beginning to be at a point where I'm like, I don't know, this may not be the place I need. I'm leaving Asbury Seminary again in March. And the Lord places something in my spirit that says, email her one more time. Email her one more time. And I'm like, I don't know. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it one more email. And if I don't hear anything back, that's it. I'm just going to keep going in what I'm doing. Send an email. 20 minutes later, I get an email back from her that says, Andrew, I just left a meeting about you. The senior pastor's assistant's going to be reaching out to you to schedule a meeting in the next week. So a senior pastor's assistant reaches out, schedules a meeting with the senior pastor for a month, and I go up and meet with the senior pastor. Had an incredible encounter with him. We met for over 2 hours. And it was just, we connected relationally, we connected spiritually, we connected theologically. It was beautiful. And after a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment, where so many other places didn't work out, this place was almost like the water. It was almost like water flowing. It's like, and back in September when the Lord originally placed that thought on my heart, all the fears and worries and people in my life that I was afraid to look at and say, hey, I'm moving. At that point in time in April and May, we're no longer in place. It's like the Lord almost parted the waters and cleared out every potential worry for me to be able to walk forward. Not just in his will, but in his timing as well. You know, it's not like, it was interesting to me that the conversation started in January, but a job offer didn't come until May. It's like, at the end of all of that, it's like, God's will came through, yes, but in that, his timing also came through too, because a lot of the worries that I had, or the people that were in place that I was afraid to look at and be like, hey, I'm out, they're no longer there. And so I look at that, and I'm in this place of transition right now from one job to another, where I'm like, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going into a new community of people that I don't know. This is home. Christ Church is home for me. But the Lord's will and all that has given me peace to continue taking steps. And although I don't know the next steps of what this change looks like, it's been amazing in the worry, in the fear, in the uncertainty of what is to come, that following in God's will has just given me a peace to say, hey, it's okay to keep stepping. So that's my story and a little bit of it. That's kind of where I am. I got a lot of emotions in that. But I think, William, for the folks listening today, I think that the idea of change, whether we're talking professionally, but, and you had mentioned too, just change relationally from dating into marriage and to move from your parents' house into another house. It's like people experience a lot of change, and there's some great things that come in it, and the Lord moves in a lot of ways, but it can also be really challenging. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, if we're not disciplined, the adversary can use that as a time to eat at us. So I don't know, William, let's talk for a second about what's easy and what's hard about transition and of different life things.
So honestly, man, I don't know if anything's easy about it. But I think the ease comes not from so much my side, but maybe from the Lord's. Mm-hmm. Like your story, the Lord, he takes his time, but he's never late. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was cool to hear how the Spirit had already planted that seed in you. But like, if you'd gotten that job opportunity then, you might not have taken it.
Exactly.
Right? It was like planting the seed, and then months later, all the chess pieces being in the right place for a checkmate.
Exactly.
And that was my story exactly. Because, I mean, months before, same kind of time period, honestly, I'd been asked, like, hey, would you, like, consider doing this? And I was like, no, I'm like, I'm fine. But it was like kind of the seed was in me, like, maybe. And then I had all these other kind of opportunities and things, and they all fell through. Mm-hmm. And then the water, like you said, was open. And so the ease was from God's, yeah. Where he opens the door and he says, here you go.
Yeah.
But it's hard because, I don't know, it's hard on one hand, like being comfortable and then having to move. It's hard from another hand when you're in a place where you see a lot of fruit. Mm. And you're like, man, I kind of feel like this is going well here, but I know that God's calling me here too. Like, how do I know, like, what to do? And so that was hard, but then the ease was from God showing the way. And I actually have a verse that I was thinking about, a two from the Old Testament. And this one comes from Deuteronomy. And it's Deuteronomy 1:6. Says, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. And man, I think that we've kind of had a Mount Horeb experience. Like, both you and I have been at the mountain of God. We've been in a good place, right? A holy place, worshiping. And it's been really good. And then God has come in and said, you've been at this mountain long enough. Move. See the land that I am giving you. Take possession of it. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's super scary. And it would have been scary for Moses and the Israelites. Like, they were going into a land of giants, yeah. Right? Yeah. Warrior people, savage people. And God's like, yeah, you know, maybe they're scary, but I've given this to you. Yes. I've sworn it to you. Trust me, and they will fall by the wayside, by the snap of my fingers. And so for us, like, yeah, dude, it's scary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unknowns. It's terrifying.
Yes.
But God says, see, I am giving you this land. Trust me. Mm. I'm gonna fight the battles. Mm. Trust me. Move. And I think that's the beauty of when God calls you to change, because you can trust him. Sometimes, you know, when we make change in our own initiative, that's when we can get into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Because I honestly think that, you know, if you're not feeling the Lord's calling, like, dwell where you are faithfully.
Yes.
But when God, like, calls you, I mean, it's from him.
Amen.
Yeah.
It is from him. And I think that for so many people, especially, I think for so many folks too, it's like folks who may be in a place, whether that's professionally or where they don't feel like they're fully being used, you know, maybe it's not a great situation.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, I need to get into a better situation. I need to get into a better situation. And sometimes the emotions of wanting to move and to change can be overwhelming. And I get that. There are good and bad days everywhere. But God's will is worth following, and it is so important that prayer discernment. And I love what you said in your story of kind of talking about change, that having people to walk with you is so, people who love you and love the Lord to walk with you, because that's exactly what happened to me as well. When I think about the job that I'm going into, I sent the job description to a couple mentors and I said, read through this and tell me what you think. And you know what they all came back and said to me? They're like, this is like written for you. It's like the Lord wrote this opportunity for you. And so I think that you're exactly right. God's will is good and his timing is good. But anytime we walk through change, we have to be people who seek the Lord's will over our own, because it is his will is worth following. And for those people who may be sitting there right now being like, I want to change, but I can't. It's one of those things where prayer, discernment, encouragement from leaders is important. But God calls you into a place and calls you to dwell faithfully there until he opens the door for what is next. And that's why I think prayer, discernment, mentorship, and a lot of the Lord's grace are the things that make a difference when it comes to change. I don't know. What do you think?
Dude, yeah, when I heard your job description of the new job, I was like, man, this is perfectly crafted for Andrew. This is an Andrew-shaped hole that only you could fill. And it was at that moment where I was like, yeah, this is the Lord like calling him there. And so it was really, really awesome to hear that from you, and then to actually reflect in my life, to look at you and think about how God has been moving in your life. It's just cool to see how he's moving in each of our stories in a way that is really for our good, and ultimately I think going to be good for his kingdom. One of the things I wanted to talk about was in a moment of change, how do you basically change well? How do you say goodbye well? How do you What do you do, not just to like rush, like move camp quickly, right, but to like honor the time where you are, the time that you have left? Well, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Because time of transition, especially when it comes to like job change and things along those lines, you almost feel split because you're excited about the new opportunity that you're stepping into, but you have the privilege and the responsibility to still be where you are. And especially when you work with people, I think it's hard because there's a lot of people in your community that, and it's funny that you and I, the three of us and our executive producer, it's like there's this fear of like, hey, will the people that I'm with right now be taken care of once I leave? Yeah. You know, and there's a fear in that because you love those people deeply. And it doesn't matter where you've been. So there's this split of like you're excited about what is to come, but you have a responsibility to your calling until your job is fulfilled. That's important. And so, first of all, hey, how do you say goodbye? Well, you stay faithful to the last day, number one. You have a responsibility to those people and in that community until your last day, number one. But number two, the Lord has put you in that place at the beginning, and he deserves all honor and praise for what has been done in that. So be intentional in saying goodbye, that the Lord has moved and he will continue to move. And the part that really personally, William, that I'm working on right now is just like being trusting that as you move into the new opportunity, that just as the Lord has provided up until this point, you release the control to know that he will continue to provide for those people, and he's preparing the way for you as you walk into what he has for you next. And so you want to honor people well. You want to love people well and tell them how much they mean to you. You want to honor the Lord well and watch and reflect on all that he has done. But part of walking into a new season is being faithful where you are till the job is done, but also releasing the control, knowing that it was God's before you got there, and it'll be God's after you leave. And that is important, and that's what I'm working on right now. I haven't figured that part out yet. I got a lot of work to do in that regard, but I know it's important. So that's what I would say about what does it look like to say goodbye well and to begin to change into what God has in store. I'm not good at it by any means, but I'm learning a lot in this season. William, what about you, man? What does it mean for you to say goodbye well and to change well?
Yeah. Well, I like the point a lot, what you said. Like, it takes a lot of trust, because I've felt burdened by, you know, some of the people that we're leaving. And I'm like, man, well, who's gonna like shepherd them now, or who's gonna, you know, be there for them? And I think part of it is, like you said, like, we gotta trust that, like, just as God moved us there on a calling, that He will put people like in their lives. That's not to say we take all hands off, you know.
Right.
We still work and we do our best and we make connections.
Right.
And, keep in touch. But not in the anxiety of, because, you know, I think that is like, you know, we're not their saviors.
That's right.
God is in control, and He is sovereign, and He will move. And I think part of the transition, feeling that burden, is, okay, what does prayer look like? And then advocating, you know, to, like, and on our parts, like senior leadership, and be like, hey, like, you know, we're moving and God's calling us, but like, our heart is for these people. Like, have a heart for them too.
Yep.
So that's a big thing. And you know, my wife is feeling the same way. She is moving jobs. She was at a school here in Memphis, a high needs school where kids are really neglected. Nobody's in their corner except for their teachers. And Courtney has been there the last 6 years and has given everything, so much to the point where I think it was like unhealthy for her. And so that's why she's transitioning out, just for the sake of her soul. Man, her heart is burdened. She's like, I don't want to be another person that's abandoning these kids. And who else is gonna like be there for them? And we had a moment, she was just like, she was crying just because she loves them. And I think I think part of the transition is admitting, grieving over what you are leaving.
That's, yeah, for sure.
You have to lament. Because tears are a monument to what matters.
Yeah.
It's your body's way of showing you that you care. So yeah, in moments of transition, lament, grieve, cry, take it to God, lay those burdens before Him, and he'll move. But it's not worth being stoic and just packing up and heading out. It's worth, you know, leaving with full heart.
Yeah.
And another thing I think that's important is to have a celebration.
Yeah.
To honor that time and that space. And I think this is more for people who are not the ones transitioning, but are in community and work with and love the person who is. Like, what does it look like to mark this moment for them with a celebration? The discipline of celebration. And so, like, for what you did for me with young adults, Andrew got me a print of the Tolkien poem that we do here in the Wandering Years, and had all the young adults sign it in the back, and just had a really monumental kind of celebration, affirmation of me. And in one sense, I felt loved and celebrated. In another sense, I kind of felt released of like the burden, and that was awesome. And I hope that, like, you know, I got to do the same thing for you, because I bought Andrew this awesome Silly Goose
he did
sweatshirt, because that's if you're in our young adult ministry, that was his thing, asking a silly goose question of the week, and it was a really funny, just kind of inside joke thing we had going on. And I hope that honored you, and you have something to like hold on to. And so I think that we as a family need to honor others who are moving in those kind of ways.
Oh, 1,000%. That was a beautiful opportunity and something that I will always cherish. I will always cherish, because I think those opportunities are ways that you can reflect and say, hey, don't forget where you've been and what God has done. And you, the way that you led in that, and have a beautiful token that I will always cherish, and to have that time of verbally affirming, and also like just having that time of prayer and commissioning. Yes, it's a release, and it's an opportunity to honor the Lord as he's moved, but also to prepare what is in store. So it was deeply impactful to me to be able to have that opportunity, to be able to receive that, and to receive those words, and to receive that gift of just encouragement and commissioning, you know. And so, no, 1,000%. I would echo everything that you said, of just that opportunity that you were able to lead in was deeply impactful in my life. And it's important. It's important for all of us, because I'll always remember that. It's funny. I'm going to go ahead and say it. The church I'm going to is called Christ Church. And so I think that's another one for me, of just like, I think it's so the Lord that I'm the church, the name of the church that I'm going to is Christ Church. And I'm like, don't forget where you came from.
Right.
Don't forget where you've been. And I am blown away at the Lord's faithfulness, both in the way that you have been able to lead with the young adults and caring for me. The East Ministry Center crew did it before it was closed. And I think that I'm just so grateful. I've just been really reminiscent. The Lord has been, through the good and the bad times, the Lord has been faithful. And he's been faithful. He's been faithful. And a lot of tears, a lot of excitement, a lot of fear. But our God is faithful.
Yes. And that's been my experience too. I mean, there were weeks, months when I kind of felt untethered, unmoored, not sure what to do. But here, a couple months out after marriage and after the move, where I'm looking back and I'm like, man, like, it's awesome to see God's hand over this. Mm. And he is faithful. And I wanted to read, I've got another verse here. This is Isaiah 54. And this is later in Isaiah, after the exiles happened. And Isaiah is speaking to a people who have experienced awful change, mm-hmm. brutal change.
Yeah.
They're country being invaded and destroyed,
yeah.
them being forced to move.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, think about that. Like, how is this God's will? Like, yeah, God, right. What have you done to us? Like, oh, like, Zion, that's your place, man. Like, we are in Babylon, and like, we're these pagan people are abusing us and crushing us. Like, God, like, where are you? And this is how Isaiah 54 goes. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, wow. says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities.
Wow.
Do not be afraid, you will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. And it goes on, and the Lord just has some awesome, awesome statements where he's like, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. Mm. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. And I mean, it just keeps going on and on. But God is like, I mean, you may feel like you have been abandoned, like this change that's happened in your life was not from God. I mean, it's just brutal. And then God's like, sing.
Yeah.
Take joy. I have not abandoned you.
Yeah.
I'm your maker. I'm your husband.
Mm.
I'm your father.
Mm.
And he says, move.
Yeah.
Enlarge the place of your tents. Strengthen your cords. He's like, take up arms. He's like, get ready. I am about to do a new thing.
Amen.
And so change can be hard, but then I think the Lord is always calling us to more.
Yes, he is.
And we can take heart that whether this change, we feel like it's God's prompting, or whether it feels like exile, the Lord has not abandoned us.
Amen.
And he is calling us to more.
Amen.
So, I mean, I always fall back on the words of Isaiah there in times of transition, because God is, and he pursues us so faithfully.
He does. He pursues us, and I love those words of Isaiah. I've got some words on that too.
Yeah.
I think that I always go to Matthew 28, the Great Commission, because I think about, I talked about this with our young adults last night, but it's like you see the beautiful Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. But what's interesting there is as the disciples show up and see Jesus in Galilee, they all worshiped him. But there's a little line in there that's really interesting. It says, but some doubted. As they had just experienced the Savior of the world die viciously on the cross, to hear that he's resurrected, there's probably a lot of emotion and fear. There's probably a lot of excitement, a lot of hope. Is Jesus who he says he is? But there's also like some apprehension of like, I don't want to go through losing him again. And Jesus gives a great commission saying, first of all, hey, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go teaching them to observe everything that I have obeyed you. But as he gives the call to go, he reminds them that you never go without having Jesus right there with you in every single step of the way. And because it says at the end of Matthew 28, remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. And change is hard. The call of Jesus is not an easy one. He never pretended that it would be. But it's a worthwhile calling. It's a thought-through calling. And it's a calling that Jesus does not command of us, not just command of us, but he walks with us in every single step of the way. And we know that although things may look different, buildings come and go, people come and go, seasons come and go, but the will of God never changes and his faithfulness remains. And I think that is so important. I think so much about the person who's sitting here listening to this right now, who may feel like they're in a hole with change. They may want to change but don't know how to. They may feel like there's no way out of where they are. They may be in the middle of change, whether that's a job, moving, one thing or another, and they're uncertain of the fear that is to come. I feel for that person. I know to a degree what they feel like. I don't know fully. I'm not that person. But what is comforting to me is in the uncertainty of change, God's presence gives us peace. We don't have to have the next 10 steps figured out, but he gives us the peace for the next step. Then he'll show us the next step. Then he'll show us the next step. I had a mentor tell me one time when I was called to ministry, he said, you don't have to have all 10 steps of your life figured out. You need to put your yes on the table and trust that God will walk you through every single step of the way. And so for some people listening today, maybe it's time to relinquish that yes and to place it on the table and to trust that God is going to be with you. It's scary. It's fearful. But let me just tell you, God is a God who is worthy of being trusted.
You're giving up is nothing compared to the riches of a life with God.
Amen.
I think it's awesome that this whole movement started with Abraham's call.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the city of Ur.
Yeah.
And like they found artifacts from the ancient city, some of the most beautiful, priceless kind of things. I mean, that was a wealthy city. I mean, if you wanted to be somebody, you were there. That's like New York City, LA, you know, that you're at the top of your game. God goes, hey, follow me.
Yeah.
Where are we going? To the promised land. I'm going to give you descendants that outnumber the stars. But I'm 75 years old. I can't even have kids. Hey, follow me. Trust
That's
me.
That's right.
Trust me. And for you listening, like, you might be in your own like a place of the world and all the success and all these things, and have this nudge and like, oh man, God's calling me to something scary,
yeah.
Something audacious,
yeah.
Not to be a fisherman, but a fisher of men. and trust me, what you give up is nothing in comparison to the joy and the wonder, the riches of the adventure of life with God.
Amen.
And then really in the end, you'll find that what you gave up, really, you receive it all back in the end. That's the joy of the spiritual life. And man, it's just awesome to be on the adventure of life with God, because it really is the fulfillment of our desires. It's scary. It's hard. But man, every great story is scary. I mean, every great movie that we love or book that we read has dragons or monsters or a bad guy threatening the end of the world. Like, but we love those stories because there's a hero,
yes.
Right? There's
yes.
There's someone that answers the call. Harry Potter is like, I'm not a wizard. I don't want to go. And he's like, oh, you're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you're going to come or not.
Exactly. I love it.
And so, like, we're kind of at this, at the foothills of, you know, the most epic adventure. God's like, hey, like, I'm calling you. Like, come with me. It's scary, but man, I want to be living that story. I don't want to be living the story where you play it safe. Because, I mean, there's two stories. There's a story of, I don't know where I'm going, but God, I trust you. Or there's the story of, I kind of have everything figured out, and Lord, I know you're there, but I'm good.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, both, you know, can be all right.
Yeah.
But I want to be living story one.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway, that's just that's kind of my rally cry.
Yeah. And you know, William, brother, I want you to know that I've thoroughly enjoyed getting the opportunity to walk life with you in ministry and friendship and brotherhood, like, and to have these conversations. It has been an honor and a privilege. And you know, just as I prayed before, I continue to pray for you. I pray for this for the folks who are listening, is that you know, God would give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see the will that He has for you. He has for us, and He does have a will. It's a good will. It's a will that will bring Him a lot of glory, but also the energy and the confidence to run after that will with everything that we have, because it's worth it. It's worth it. I pray that for you listening. Don't forget that. Don't forget. You may need to hear that. God does have a will for you. It's good. He sees you. But I just wanted to say that publicly on the microphone, that I love you. And on to more wandering.
Right.
And seeing as God continues to speak as we continue to walk in pursuit of Him.
Thank you, Andrew, and I love you too, man. Wingman.
For life.
For life. And this podcast has been one of my favorite things that we've gotten to do together. It's brought me a lot of life, and I know that it's spoken to a lot of people, and God's hand has been in it and on it. And it's sad that, you know, the way that we've been doing things is going to end for now, but we trust that what God is doing is greater.
Yes.
But this has been awesome, and thank you for that prayer and that blessing, and we pray that over all of you who are listening, that you would have eyes to see and ears to hear and confidence to run after God. So I love you, Andrew. And
love you, brother.
Thanks, brother. Everybody, thanks for listening to a really awesome episode today. Hopefully you felt honored, and we honored just the legacy of our time together. And in the future, I'll be putting out more content. Not sure the shape or size or fashion of how that will be, but stay on the lookout for more news and more updates, and we'll post on this podcast thread with news of the future. But more things in store here at the Wandering Years, and in your own life, if you pray for Andrew and his transition, and that he would be faithful to the call, and that God would prepare safe pasture for him. We love him, and we're excited for him. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.